How many of you like to go camping? Oh my word. Wow, really? Do that again. How many campers out there? Wow, that's shocking. How many of you say, I do not like camping. I like a hotel room on the beach. How many of you are like that? Raise your hand. Oh, there's a lot of you too. Now look, some of you raised your hand both times and you're very confused. It was one or the other at this point. My family and I, we went camping. I took the kids this last year. My wife and I, we love to travel, go all sorts of places, love to do it, and have a great time when we go. But now we have three children, and when we go on vacation, we can't do all the things we used to, primarily because we're poor now. And that's what children do to you, by the way, so be careful when you get married. And my wife and I, we have three kids. We decided to go camping up in Northern California, up to the Redwoods. It was beautiful up there. We had a great time. How many of you from up there? Northern California, Redwoods area? It's beautiful up there. That's right. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah for the Bay Area. Amen. You need to go back there. They need more churches, by the way. Amen. We went back there and we had a great time. It was an amazing time. We went hiking and we went camping. And one of the times we were hiking, we were out there with the three kids. And as we were walking through the beautiful Redwoods, we looked up and we began to talk to the children about the trees. We began to talk to the children about the sky. And I looked down to my youngest. I have three children, eight years old, little boy. I have a five-year-old little girl named Savannah. And then I have a little girl named Scarlett. She's two. And we began talking about the trees. And I asked Savannah, my five-year-old, I said, who made the trees? And she said, God made the trees. I said, that's right. I looked down to my little Scarlett, my two-year-old, and she's walking along, hiking. I said, who made the birds? She said, God made the birds. I said, that's right. And I looked over to my son, Jonathan. I said, Jonathan, who made the sky? He said, God made the sky. I said, that's right. We're going to talk about how beautiful God's creation was, and how wonderful it is to be in God's creation. And somehow the conversation began to transform and change from God's creation to a topic that comes up quite often with young children. Who is stronger? And that's in our family. Who is stronger? Jonathan was talking about who he's stronger. He said, I'm stronger than Savannah. I'm stronger than she is. And Savannah said, well, I'm stronger than Scarlett. And Scarlett said, blah, blah, blah. That's all she said. They began talking about who's stronger. And as they were doing this, and I'm not sure why they were wanting to know who was stronger, Savannah, my five-year-old little girl, she looks up and she said, well, mommy is stronger than everybody. Well, I mean, you don't know my wife. She is strong, but I was a little offended. And I began thinking, well, wait a second. And Jonathan, who's going to stand up for the man? He's going to stand up for the male perspective. And he stood up and he said, no, Daddy is stronger than mommy. And Savannah conceded. She said, yeah, daddy is stronger. And he went on and he said, daddy is so strong. Man, daddy is so strong, he can break sticks. That's good, you know. And it's true, I can. We were camping the whole week and I was breaking sticks and throwing them in the fire. I didn't meet a stick I couldn't break, and I was breaking them all over. And I'd break them and throw them in. So he was genuinely impressed, as he should be. And as we were, really. And he said, man, daddy's strong because he can break sticks. And then he went on. He said, daddy is the strongest man in the whole world. I said, that's right, son, that's right. Now look, size has nothing to do with strength. I just want to say right now. Dr. R, could you stand up for a moment? Would you stand up beside me? This man is a big guy, isn't he? That's all I'm going to say. Have a seat, Dr. R. And by the way, he still thinks I'm the strongest man in the whole world. And if anybody tells him different, I'll know who it came from. I just want you to know it's you. He said that, and then I remember Savannah. We just kept walking, and Savannah said, as we were standing there, she said, you know, I know somebody who's stronger than Daddy. And Jonathan said, who? And she said, God is stronger than Daddy. I said, wow, that's good. But then she continued, and she said, Daddy can break sticks, but God can break your heart. I thought, what? oh, that's really good. In fact, I pulled out my iPhone and I typed that in. I tweeted that and I wasn't sure exactly what that meant, really. God can break your heart. I said, but it sounds really good. But then I thought about it. I thought about it. You know, the truth is, one of the greatest things God can break is he can break our heart. And when our heart is broken, it really changes who we are. Christian, today, before we leave, I want God to break your heart about this area of joy, attitude, sadness, always projecting disappointment, discouragement. And today I want you to see how you can be happy inside. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. My main proposition for this morning is this, and it's very simple. You need to be happy. You need to be happy. You really do. I've had times in my life where people needed to look at me and just say, Josh, you just need to decide to be happy. And I'm here to tell you this from the Lord, and I believe it's why the Lord sent me today. You need to be happy. Now, for some of you in this room, you might just say, well, Pastor, that's a good message for me, and I need to be remembered to be happy. But all I'm saying is there are some in this room who this is the message that you need today. You just need to be happy. You know what the Word of God says about it? The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And there's no way you're going to finish the semester, my friend, and actually get home for Christmas if you're dried out and you're discouraged and there's no joy in your heart. And what I'm trying to say is this, have a merry heart. Be happy. You need to be happy. Well, I know what some of you are thinking. The question is obvious. Then what will make me happy? How can I be happy? How can I be happy in the midst of what I'm going through? The question we really want to focus on is, what will keep me from happiness? Today I want to talk about three happy killers, and we'll be done. Number one, I want to share with you the fact is if you want happiness in your life, you need to make sure you stop looking to the past. Number one, you need to stop looking to the past. What I'm trying to say is there are men in this room who can be happy and would be happy if they would just let go of their past a little bit. Amen? There's some ladies in this room who would be a lot happier if you would just let go of some things in your past. You say, what are the things in my past that I need to let go of? Let's imagine a little box over here, shall we? In this little box, there are three things that you need to let go of. And they all have to do with your past. Number one is deep hurts. When we open up the box, we see, number one, deep hurts. All right, look, there's not one person in this room who hasn't ever been hurt. All of us have been hurt to some degree or another. Every single one of us have gone through difficult things. When I think of those who have gone through difficulties, I think of the man Joseph. Joseph himself, all he ever did was stand up and tell others what God told him. All he ever did was stand up and tell about the dreams that he dreamed. All he ever did was be a good son, and his dad just picked him out as his favorite. All he ever did was get a coat of many colors, and his brothers hated him for it. And so what happened with Joseph? Well, they took Joseph, they beat him up, they threw him in a pit, they sold him into slavery. How many of you realize that might damage somebody emotionally? And they did this to Joseph, and when they did this to Joseph, it hurt him deeply. It hurt him so badly that the Bible says in Genesis chapter 41, when he had his son, the Bible says he named him Manasseh. And the Bible says he named him Manasseh because that word means that the Lord has made me to forget all of my sorrows and my father's house. Joseph got to a point in his life where he realized, I cannot be happy today if all I ever do is focus on yesterday's hurts. Look, I don't question your hurts. I'm almost certain there are those in this room who have been hurt in the past deeper than I. There are those in this room who have gone through parents walking out on them. One of my closest friends, he was 4 years old, one of his very first memories is his father walking out their house and never coming back. Look, I can't relate with you on that topic, but I can tell you this. The Lord Jesus Christ understands. And if all you ever do is focus on that moment, my dear friend, you need to understand, you'll never be happy today. You'll never be happy in the future. And there are those who will never be happy. They choose to never be happy because all they ever do is look to the past and hold on to some deep hurt. There are those in this room who as a child, perhaps you were abused, molested, physically hurt in some way. And every time you begin to be happy, every time you begin to find joy, every time you get past it, the devil comes to you and says, you can't be happy. Don't you remember what happened to you? And he begins to build bitterness in your heart. I'm not saying, my dear friend, it wasn't wrong. What I'm trying to say is that you need to put that in your past. There are those in this room today who say, I can't be happy because somebody hurt me. It was last semester, it was the year before, but somebody broke my heart and I can't get over it and I can't be happy. And it maybe was a week ago or a month ago, and I'm telling you, friend, you'll never be happy today until you say to your past, you know what, I'm putting away the deep hurts. One of these things in this box are the deep hurts. The other thing that you might find in this box that you need to leave in the past is personal failures. Personal failures. Listen, every single one of us in this room have made mistakes. Every single one of us in this room have things that we look back to and are not proud of. What I'm telling you is this, you can't be happy and go forward if you're gonna hold on to that. So when you open up that box and you see that personal failure, what you need to do is you need to do what the Lord says. You know what Paul said about his past personal failures? He said, forgetting the things which are behind, I press forward to the things which are before. I press toward the mark, he says. Joel chapter 2 and verse 25, you don't have to turn there, it says, and I will restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten. There's a possibility that there are men and women in this room that if you don't get over your past failures, then the truth is that you will waste years of your life focused on what you did in the past instead of what God can do in the future. Amen? There are those, listen now, there are those in this room who need to go out soul winning in the Spirit of God tomorrow. There are those in this room who need to go out with some tracts in your hand and the Spirit of God in your heart and a smile on your face, and the devil's going to discourage you because of some mistake you've made in the past. And it may be the recent past. And what I'm telling you to do is what you need to do is get right with God, confess your sin, and move on. And we see, looking to the past, these deep hurts can keep you unhappy. Number two, these personal failures can keep you living in the past. And number three, something else that can keep you looking to the past is a loss of zeal. A loss of zeal. How many of you in this room, I'm interested to know, how many of you seniors or juniors, would you raise your hand? Seniors and juniors, you're proud of it, raise your hand. Amen, on your way out. Amen. How many of you wish you were seniors and juniors? Raise your hand. All right, several of you, all right, very good. Loss of zeal. You know, the truth is, there it's possible that maybe you got here and you were really excited. Man, you got here your freshman year, you began to look around, you say, oh man, I'm gonna serve the Lord. Oh, I'm taking a new class. Oh, I'm gonna make good grades. And now you're in your junior, senior year, starting to get a little tired and discouraged. And you look at your spiritual life and you have a genuine heart for God and you think this, I really, really want to be back spiritually where I was then. And right now you're just in a dry spot, you're in a down spot. Job went through the same type of a thing. I love one of the verses that Job reads out in Job chapter 29, verse 2. I'll read it to you. He says this, oh, that I were as in months past. I read a sermon by Charles Spurgeon one time, and he preached an entire message on this one text. Oh, that I were as in months past. And he said this in his sermon. I thought it was beautiful. He said, how many Christians look on the past with pleasure and on the future with dread and on the present with sorrow. And I'm trying to tell you, listen, you will always be focused on the past if all you can ever do is look to the past, not with disappointment, but with longing. You say, man, I'll tell you, when I was in high school, man, I was on fire for God, and I was reading my Bible, I was praying, and I don't know what the problem is now. Boy, I can remember back when I had a heart for souls, and I was leading people to Christ, and I don't know where it is right now, and I'm just sad, I don't know. Listen, the answer to that is not to focus on the past. The answer is to get right with God today. And we see looking to the past as a happy killer. It will sap joy from your life. And so what we need to do is, as Paul did, is turn from the past and go to the forward, go to the future and see what God has for us. So number one, we see a happy killer. Number one, it's looking to the past and focusing our life and attention there. But number two, I want you to see longing for tomorrow. And this is where I want to focus most of our message today. How can I be happy, Pastor, in the midst of my life? And with all the circumstances, how can I be happy? Number one, put your past behind you. And number two, stop longing for tomorrow. Tomorrow will come. It'll be there. But today's today. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor Josh? What do you mean? Well, I'm talking about what we call the human condition. The human condition. It's incredible. My kids have already started this. My kids, at the age of 8 and 5 and 2, they're always looking forward to the next thing. Where are we going next? What are we doing next? During breakfast, they're asking about lunch. During lunch, they're asking about dinner. It's the human condition to constantly be longing for what is not right now. Savannah already, my little 5-year-old, after watching maybe Cinderella or something, and at the end, the prince and Cinderella go off in the coach, she'll look up to me and she'll say, I can't wait to get married. And I think, turn this movie off. We are never watching this again. Can't wait to get married. You're 5 years old. My son can wait to get married. He wants nothing to do with the little girls. But I'll tell you, Jonathan, he's 8 years old. He's still looking at the future. The other day, he looked at us and he said this. He said, he's looking around the house. He said, you know, when you die, I want to have this house. Okay. Are you planning anything? Or, I mean, what do you say to that? Isn't it natural? Isn't it natural not to be satisfied with today but look at tomorrow? Doesn't it? It starts around the age of 4. When you're 4 years old, you hear about kindergarten and you think, I'm going to go to kindergarten. And then you get to kindergarten and you're like, first grade. Oh, that's where the real fun begins. And then you learn about third grade, and you can't wait till you're 8 years old and you're in third grade. And in fourth grade, they do this and that. Then you can't wait to become a teenager. Or first of all, it's double digits. Ooh, now I'm 10. And then you can't wait to be a teenager, and I'm in youth group. Ooh! And then as a teenager, you become a teenager, and you look up, and you say, man, I can't wait till I get in high school. And as soon as you get in high school, you think, oh, I can't wait till I'm not a freshman anymore. I want to be a sophomore. And as soon as you're a sophomore, you're thinking, I can't wait till I'm 16, because then when I'm 16, I'll be happy because I'll be able to drive. And then when you're 16, you think, boy, I can't wait till I'm 18, because then I'll finally be able to go to college, and I'll be able to get out of the house. And when you finally get out of the house and you get into college, you think, boy, I can't wait till I get out of college, and I can't wait till I start my life. And you think, I can't wait till I get married. And then when you get married, you think, I can't wait till I get kids. And then when you have kids, you think, I can't wait till they're gone. And then when they're gone, you think, I can't wait till the grandkids come back. And you say, this is the human condition. It's dissatisfaction with today. Because I know tomorrow is going to be so much better than today is. This is the problem with the eternal optimist. They can never enjoy today because they always long for tomorrow. And I'm telling you, friend, that's a happy killer, and you will not enjoy some of the best years of your life because all you can think about, dear sir, is getting out and serving God. Can I tell you, God has already called you to serve him here.
Amen. That's right. That's good.
There are ladies that just can't wait to go and just leave and be done, and oh, I just can't wait. Friend, there will be days that you look back on these days with fond memories. You say, how did I waste my time? We waste our time wishing it away. There are those that are not married in this room, and you're just sitting there saying, man, I just can't wait. I just can't wait. We're going to be married. You're counting down the days. And by the way, that's okay. I did too. But I'll tell you this. Once you get married, you won't be single again. God has created this time in your life for you to enjoy. Do you understand? You can enjoy the preparation time. There's not going to be a chance where every single day at 10:30 get to go and hear preaching, but you do. There's not going to be a day where every Sunday, listen, sir, there's not going to be a day where every Sunday you get to come in and hear Pastor Chapel preach. But right now you get that. Do you understand? And so many of us aren't enjoying today because of the human condition of wishing away today, longing for tomorrow. And I'm telling you, it's killing you. And it's killing your time. The Bible says in Psalm number 118, verse 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I know that. I know that's hard. I really do. I'm a church planter. Planted it 7 years ago. When we had 50 people in the church, I thought, man, I can't wait till we have 100. We had 100 people. Like, oh, man, one of these days we'll have 200. Then I'll be happy. We'll have 300. Then I'll be happy. 400. Oh, man, when we have 400, then I'll be happy. And you know, the truth is, unless I decide to be happy today, it doesn't matter how many people are coming. I just won't be happy. Satisfaction. Satisfaction. Satisfaction in the time that you're at and the Savior that you have. You understand? So we see the Bible says, I will be happy. The Bible says in this passage, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And so this is the decision today. And by the way, can I just say, that ought to be your decision today. If you're here today and this is the message that God had for you, let's be very honest, the Holy Spirit brought me here for a reason to preach to you. You know who you are. You need to get on your knees and you need to say, God, I'm sorry for complaining about today. I'm sorry for balking at you. I'm sorry for fighting against those people in my life that you put there. And I'm sorry for being dissatisfied with today. If you don't, do you understand? If you don't make the decision to be happy today, God could bring every joy into your life and you'll still never be happy. Things don't make you happy. It's a decision. It's a choice to be happy. We'll get to that in a moment. Do you understand? You need to get on your knees and say, God, I'm wrong. I was wrong. I confess my sin of criticism and complaining and whining and bickering and complaining against you. And I want to get this. This is the human condition. Number two, the human conundrum. Let me explain. James chapter 4 and verse 14, it says this, whereas ye know not what a day shall, what shall be on the morrow. You know, here's the conundrum. The conundrum with the condition is this, is that you long for tomorrow and you don't even know what it holds. Say, well, I'm optimistic about tomorrow. Good for you, but I'll tell you, you can be more optimistic about today. Because today is today. Do you understand what James is trying to say here? James chapter 4, again, I'll read it to you. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. You don't know what tomorrow's about. You don't know what's next year. You don't know what 10 years is from now. And what I'm trying to do is tell you that you need to enjoy today. And if you don't enjoy today, the problem is you're not going to enjoy tomorrow. I see it all the time. I see it all the time. People come into my office and they're depressed. They're sad. They've always been sad because they've never learned this point. It goes on, whereas ye know what shall not be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and it vanisheth away. That's the way life is. It's here and it's gone. Can I tell you, it was just yesterday that I was sitting in College Chapel. Isn't that the way it feels? It's just yesterday I was sitting in College Chapel, and 10 years go by like that. I know you hear that all the time, right, from old people. But they say that the older you get, the faster it goes. I was talking with my father. It was our birthdays around the same time. And I was talking with my dad, and he said to me on the phone, it was when I was turning 30. This was a year or so ago. He said to me, he said, Josh, he said, you're 30 now. How old do you feel? I said, what? He said, how old do you feel? I said, that's a weird question. I said, I guess I feel 30. He said, so do I. I said, yeah, you're not. He said, I know, that's my point. And he went on to give me a great life lesson at the age of 30. He said, you know, he says, it's your birthday, you're 30, and you don't feel it. He said, just, isn't it amazing how time just goes by? It's just, he said, yesterday, Josh, yesterday I was 30. Yesterday you were just a 5-year-old little boy. What I'm trying to say is the human condition leads to sadness throughout your life because the conundrum is life goes by quick. And you just need to wake up and enjoy it. It's okay to enjoy life. How many of you think it's okay to enjoy life? Say amen. Amen. I'm pretty sure somebody said that he came to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. And I think we ought to. The Bible says, number one, we see happy killers looking to the past. Number two, longing for tomorrow, because I can't be happy today. And then number three, losing today. You long for tomorrow long enough and you'll lose today. It'll be gone and you'll never get it back. You'll never get today back. Say, good riddance, I don't want today. I remember Pastor Chapel. I had an opportunity to talk with Pastor Chapel. I don't remember when it was. I think it was a couple years ago. The church was probably about 200 people. And I was telling him about our plans. Oh, Pastor Chapel, if anybody understands plans, it's you. And I want to tell you all about it. Oh, we're going to do this. 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 Oh, it's going to be great. You know, just letting him know. And he looked up and he said something to me I did not expect him to say. He said, well, Josh, he said, you know, you need to enjoy the time where you're at. He said, because before you know it, you're not going to have a little church and you're going to look back on those days as the good old days. Well, you know, as a 27-year-old church planter, I'm thinking, yeah. You know, the truth is, isn't that the way it is? We get through some of the most difficult parts of our life, and we look back, and we call them the good old days. What I'm sharing with you today is wisdom. And what I'm trying to say is, if you learn this lesson now, you will spend your life enjoying your life. We talk about losing today. Number one, the way you don't lose today is by redeeming every moment. Redeeming every moment. Now, that's against the philosophy. I'm not talking about the worldly philosophy of live in the moment. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you eat. It doesn't matter what you smoke. It doesn't matter what you drink. Just live in the moment, college student, and do whatever you want to do. No. We understand that there are consequences to actions. Amen? That's not what I'm talking about. But what I am talking about is exactly what the Word of God says. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. You need to take advantage of today. Today. Don't you dare get on your knees and begin to pray to the Lord about what you're going to do when you leave college, when tomorrow you can go out and bring people to Big Day. Do you understand? If you don't do it tomorrow, you're not going to do it then. Redeem the time. Enjoy today. Serve God today. Do what God wanted you to do today. Don't talk about what I'm going to do for God one day. Do what you're going to do for God today. And that's how you don't lose today. Number one, by enjoying the day. Redeem every moment. Number two, remember what is important. Remember what is important. Today. What is important today? Well, today I got to get up. Yes. Today I got to make my bed. Yes. Today I got to brush my teeth. Yes. I've got to go to chapel. Yes. I've got to take my classes. I've got to take my tests. You say, yes, yes, yes. But that's all boring stuff. Friend, do you understand? You are here today to enjoy today to prepare for tomorrow. There's nothing wrong with what you're doing. And I speak to that ambitious young guy who's just saying, I just can't wait to get out there and do the work. Look, I totally get it. I really do. What I'm trying to say is you need to remember what's important today. Do you understand why God brought you to West Coast Baptist College? He brought you here to prepare for a major battle that has been raging for 2,000 years. And you are a key player in that battle. I talked a moment ago about the fact you don't have to wait to serve God. You need to go out soul winning tomorrow. And that is absolutely true. But you also need to realize why you're here right now. You're sharpening your sword. And don't get tired of doing so. Now, I understand that there are people who are professional sword sharpers. Don't say that too fast, too quickly. All right? That is, all they ever do is prepare for the battle. They never get in. But that's not where you're at. You're here for a brief amount of time to get as good as you can. What I'm trying to say is you better do well in your classes. God has brought you here to do well in your classes so that when you go out and do what God wants you to do and somebody asks you some question, you'll know the answer to it. That you begin to work on your relationship with God right here. That you have a habit of reading your Bible and praying every day. What I'm trying to say is remember what is important. You are here to prepare for your life, for your ministry. So get it done. That's the way you lose. You keep from losing today. Psalm number 90, verse 12 says, "So teach me to number my days, O Lord, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Well, we lose today, number one. One of the ways to keep from losing today is redeeming our time, remembering what is important. Then number three, by realizing that happiness is a decision. Realizing that happiness is a decision. It's a decision. You will decide to be happy today or not. It's amazing to me. I go take the kids to Disneyland, the happiest place in the world, they say. Amen. I like it. And you know, you take them around and we have a great time. And I've seen children that are 6 years old and they're in the happiest place in the world. And they're crying and they're screaming. They're falling on the ground, throwing fits. They're tearing things in two. And I look at them and I think, what is wrong with this kid? You're at Disneyland. You see, you know, the truth is, it doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter the circumstances. Happiness is not based upon what happens to you. Happiness is based upon what happens in you. And you need to make a decision. I'm happy here. There are students right now in this place that are not happy here. And the only reason is because you choose not to be. Period. Does God have you here? No, my parents put me. God has you here. You're not happy because you don't want to be. Fine. Don't be happy. See how it works out for you. And there are students here. Circumstances are not great. You don't know where you're going to pay your bill. You don't know if you're going to get married. You know, you don't know if you're going to pass the test, but you're happy. And it's not because you're dumb. It's because you've chosen to be happy. I'm a happy person. I'm glad Jesus saved me. I'm glad I'm reading the Bible. I'm glad I get to go to chapel. I'm glad I got to hear Pastor Josh Dice today. Amen?
Amen.
Three of you. Very nice. All right. Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I love this passage. It's my wife's key verse for her life, her favorite verse. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. You know what that means? That means it doesn't matter what happens to me. I'm still going to bless the Lord. His praise will be continually in my mouth. I'll never judge God. By the way, you say, I wouldn't blame God for what's going on. Yet every time you criticize and complain, you are blaming God. God, you didn't know what you were doing in giving me this class. You didn't know what you were doing in giving me this teacher. You didn't know what you were doing in giving me this whatever. And what I'm trying to say is this. You can bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall be continually in your mouth, and you'll show the Lord your happiness. Do you understand? I think we've made our main point today. And I hope you've heard it. One of the greatest musicians, violinists today in the world, his name is Joshua Bell. Really is an amazing violinist. Maybe you have some musicians here who might know of him. Joshua Bell, an amazing concert violinist. Had a little experiment in the metro station there in Washington, D.C. Back in January of 2007, he decided he was going to see how many people he could get to stop by. So he got his violin out and he opened up his case. And as he began to play, within the first few minutes, people just walked by. After a while, minute number four came and the violinist received his first dollar. Somebody stopped by, they put it in, they stopped for a while, they looked at him and they walked away. Minute number six. A young man leaned against the wall, listened to him for a few moments, looked at his watch, and then walked away. Minute number 10, a 3-year-old boy stopped with his mother, grabbed his mom's arm, and he began to listen. The mother listened patiently for a few minutes, tapped her foot, kept looking at her watch, said to the little boy, come on, let's go. And they walked away. This happened several times over the next 40 minutes, mainly younger children sitting there listening as the parents were moving along quickly. For 45 minutes, he played continuously, and only 6 people stopped to listen for just a short time. About 20 people gave him a little bit of money. After an entire hour, he finished playing, silence from the violin. People kept passing. Nobody noticed as he closed his violin case and walked away. What was interesting about that story is that here's a man who the night before played for a crowd of thousands who paid $100 a seat to listen to the exact same orchestra arrangement. He was playing the exact same violin. It was a $3.5 million violin. He just sat there and played. Now, every single one of those people that walked by the metro station, they would have loved to have tickets to go and hear him in person. Most of them would have. The problem is, in our lives, there are just so many moments we just think it's more important to focus on what I've got to do down the road or what I've done in the past, to just stop and enjoy today. God can break our hearts. And there are a lot of things that I guess he could break our hearts about today, but God led me to preach about attitude. And my hope and my prayer is that if God's broken your heart in this area of having a bad attitude, you would realize it's sin. You would get on your knees and you would say to God, God, I'm going to be happy inside. And I'm going to enjoy today. If you do that and you learn how to, it'll set you up for a very, very nice life.
Right. That's good.
And that's what I want for you.